And now, another eFed Journal entry with your host, TJ.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the eFed Journal. I am TJ, a.k.a. the Soul Philly, a.k.a. William Alexander Andrews, a.k.a. the podcast extraordinaire. I'm not really extraordinary at anything, but it sounds good in my head, so that's why it just kind of came out. One more, the last episode before EFJ 20, 20th episode. I guess I can let the cat out of the bag on that one. You know, pet peeves, attitudes, egos, all that negative stuff in e-fetting, but we also take a look at the positives. It's going to be me. I'm joined by Sibane. I cannot say your name. Sibane McKenna, as well as Gooch. If you didn't listen to Gooch's episode of the eFed Journal, you know, go back after this one's done. Go back, listen to it. It's a great time. And then Michael Callahan, episode two, from episode two, he's on again. He comes in later in the conversation. So that's going to be a fun one to listen to next week. And you know me, I don't like to give away who's going to be the guest until it's up. So that's why it's a special episode. We look at some negative stuff about it, you know, and also positives, you know, and it was a good conversation, but that's next week's episode. This week's episode is, well, I'll let Pete do this thing. Pete, you know, Pete's with the English robot guy. Pete, come in here real quick and take it away.
First off, my name is Peter, and this week's journal entry is brought to you by
the NEWA, National E-Wrestling Alliance, is a fantasy federation run by staff with over 30 years combined experience. It is endorsed by the real NWA and features some of the best players on the net since 1998. They are accepting applicants and will be realigning the federations that comprise the alliance in September, so opportunities for new players will be abundant. The site features multimedia opportunities on Twitter and is an exceptionally active and vibrant digital community. They welcome players of all experience level and encourage you to check them out at www.ewrestling.org/NEWA site, where tradition is respected and the future lives on. If you want to sponsor a future episode of the eFed Journal, you can contact me at efedjournal@gmail.com. Subject, title, advertising, advertisement, advertise. Just put it all in there. Put the information. I'd ask that you keep the script, your advertisement, under 100 or 200 words or so for timing. That's how you advertise. Now, EFJ 19 with Eddie Phoenix, Eddie P, as I titled it in the editing, Eddie P. Eddie Phoenix of Code Red Wrestling starts right about now. Back on the podcast here with me today, my special guest, the handler behind Eddie Phoenix, Eddie. How you doing, hey, buddy?
How's it going, man? Thank you for having me.
Not a problem.
Pretty cool.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Couple of brewskis in and a couple of shots in, so I'm ready to go. Been looking forward to this. The minute I heard about an eFed Journal, I was like, wow, that's brilliant. So this is really fun. I didn't think I would do it at first, but then I was like, you know what? I think this would be really fun. And lately I've been having a lot of fun with my character. So thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So we're going to get started. At the beginning, obviously, where did the Eddie Phoenix character, where do his origins lie?
Okay, so I started out in a Fed that some of my friends brought me into, and Eddie Phoenix was actually a secondary character, and my first character was a character I made that was Druid, and I was coming, it was right out of the ECW heyday. I started in 1998, and I wanted to make a mysterious, dark kind of guy who was kind of like hardcore, and I was trying to feed off that ECW passion that was going on at the time, and I brought him in, and I started noticing that the mysterious dark, you know, sewer dweller was kind of being the thing, and I got really pissed off, and I created a secondary character, but in the Fed I was in, my two characters couldn't have conversation with each other. They can never be in the same place at the same time. I used Eddie as a secondary character to kind of say what I really wanted to say about everything that was going on. So I was kind of like a no gimmicks guy who kind of spoke borderline OOC about people and what they were doing, but I never crossed the line, but I always spent the words so it can make it seem like the brass and the head and the this and the that, and guys would really get upset, like, why are you talking about my gimmick? It's not a gimmick, it's my real life persona. And I'm like, dude, it's wrestling, it's supposed to be wrestling, everyone knows we have gimmicks. So Eddie became like a really big antagonist that was really getting under the skin of people. And he started to draw all this fire and attention from so many people in the Fed that the owner actually liked it. He liked the idea that I was getting so many people in an uproar that he started pushing my secondary character more than my primary character. And the idea of Eddie Phoenix, he wasn't Eddie Phoenix. He was supposed to be a joke, so I called him Eddie Krueger. And Eddie Krueger was just supposed to be like a badass who always got drunk. He was a Sandman type guy. And next thing you know, he evolved into Eddie K, and then we'll talk about that as the evolution. But he was my secondary character in RWF, and he became my main character eventually.
Okay. So, and when did you start in RWF, which is Robo Wrestling Federation?
Yeah, I started in 98.
Okay, so you're an old guy.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm in my 30s, definitely in my 30s. Started in 98, sitting in the college computer room, and some of my buddies, well, they weren't my buddies at the time. They were just some dudes in there talking wrestling on a web page, and I'm like, what is that? They introduced me to it, they showed me the rules of e-fetting, and I filled out a form, and I went from there.
Okay. So, you fill out the form, you get into this game that you don't know much about, and you do it with the druid character.
I do it with the druid character, yeah. They told me roll with it. Write what you feel, write a setting and what you want to say, and develop a backstory as you do it, and just think RPs the way wrestlers do promos in front of the camera in WWF at the time.
Okay. So and then you get upset that the dark, dark, grungy, like, kind of not really looking at life at the best perspective kind of character is kind of getting beat to death before it's actually already, because now they're still around, and it's just now they're still getting beat to death.
Yeah, and I wasn't, it seemed like I wasn't catching on. I would RP this place, the Fed I was in pretty much rewarded you per RP, and you had like a 5 RP limit, so you could actually get up to 5 points, and there was this huge intricate system with dice and points and all this stuff. And he just wasn't catching on. Like, no one was caring about me. I would call everybody out with Druid, and no one would respond. And the owner was like, don't worry. And then about 9 months in to a year, I still hadn't even scratched the surface of anything in the Fed. I was starting to get frustrated. And then I started noticing more guys coming into the Fed with this, you know, the Undertaker, the Midians, the Ministry type thing, and I just got really frustrated, and that's when I decided to lash out with another character and created a secondary guy,
which was Eddie Phoenix, but at the time Eddie Krueger.
It was Eddie Krueger, and I kind of based him off the wrestling style of like having like a drunk guy always, a Sandman, New Jack type, still in the ECW mode. But I based his personality off of Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Okay. Did you have a pick base?
Yeah, my pick base, I didn't have a pick base for Druid, but whenever I saw him, actually he was supposed to kind of be like an Edge type guy when Edge first came around.
Okay.
But Eddie, since he started to become my main guy, my pick base was Brad Pitt from Fight Club.
So if everything stayed the same, Garcia would not be Brad Pitt from Fight Club.
Yeah, no.
Oh, wow, small world. So that just, I mean, just goes to show everybody, you know, great minds think alike as far as character-wise goes, and, like, character representation.
Thank you. I like Brandon a lot. I like his stuff a lot. So.
Yeah. It's 1998. At this point, it's around actually 99 or so, right? That you introduced the Eddie Krueger character. Is it Eddie Krueger with a K? Is that why you went?
Yeah, it was Eddie Krueger with a K, and I introduced them like towards the end of the 98, but he became prominent in 99.
Okay. And you were telling me before we got started that this is the kind of place where you have to be there for like a year before you really get rewarded with anything.
Yeah, because it was all based upon acquiring points and building your points up. And like the more points you got, the higher you win until you was at the top. And the guys at the top always had about 50 to 60 points.
Okay. When you introduced the Eddie Krueger character, though, did you have to basically start over with him, or did you keep the points that you had?
No, I had to start completely over.
Oh. So you had spent an entire year there.
No. Well, I kept Druid.
Oh, yeah.
In the fest. So I acquired. I was like at 22 points with him, and I just started at zero with Eddie.
Okay.
And I didn't even care if he got fired. I brought him in to piss as many people off as possible, as long as I got to say what I got to say.
So you were almost like a Matt Stone character in the sense of just it doesn't matter what is said, he's going
to
say it.
Yeah, I did not care. I almost wanted to antagonize people. Like that was my main thing. I didn't give a shit. At that point I felt like some publicity is better than no publicity.
True. It is true. So it's almost at 2000 when you really get anything with the Eddie Krueger character, but you won the world title with Druid.
I won the world title with Druid, and I stood with Druid. He ended up being one of the top guys in the Fed eventually, and Eddie was starting to come up. And I wanted to put Druid away. I had created this asylum. It was a fixture in the Fed. They would send people there who kind of wanted to start off. They made the asylum into like a minor league system where you had to go there and train and. So it became something, but I wanted to push Druid out. I didn't want to deal with no more dark characters. And so I made it that he retired and left the title open. And instead of the Fed manager giving the title like in a tournament, he kind of just made me lose it as a la handing off the baton to the next guy with the next highest points.
Okay. Well, I mean, it makes sense the way that their system goes.
I wasn't upset about it.
I'm looking at the Fed because, I mean, if you base it off the points and everything, and then you do the other stuff I guess, you said they, like, rolled dice and a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of like a college football type system, but, you know, if you had, like, 50 and you were the world champ and the guy you were fighting had, like, 48 and they'd roll dice and the champ always got two dice and the guy he was facing got one dice. So, like, if he rolled Snake Eyes, you would end up with 52. But then if the guy who had 48 rolled a 6, he would win the world title.
Okay. So, all right. That makes sense now. Because I was about to say, because if you have a tournament of the next 8 top guys and you do that, then maybe the guy who probably might deserve it a little bit more, who's been there, you know, the way that they were going.
Yeah. That was what I thought. I said, you know what? Let the top 6 guys go for it and we come out with a winner. But the Fed had his plan, and it was cool. He was, you know, he worked with me a lot. He was very he compromised a lot. So I had no issues with what he wanted to do with that character. And he didn't fire Eddie. So that was another plus. I should have been fired probably 10 times from that Fed, but he never did. So I was all cool with it.
So this is probably close to 2000, right? You're moving, you're phasing Druid out. You just want to kind of put him to the side. Not even put him aside. You just want to put him in the closet and don't look at him
like,
for a while.
Like, I just want to bury him. I never want to look back again. Yeah.
And you go from Eddie Krueger. I'm guessing from at this point you're at Eddie Krueger. You're now Eddie K.
No, I'm right? still, Are Eddie you still Krueger. Krueger. I'm still okay. Eddie Krueger. Yeah.
Okay. Because I figured if you're making him more prominent, you might drop the Krueger. But at the same, I mean, because I like the sound of Eddie K.
Yeah.
But you know, Eddie Krueger doesn't sound evolved, bad either.
But Eddie K didn't evolve in RWF.
Eddie K.
The K stood alone in my return to RWF when Talon was there.
Oh, okay. All right. So you are, it's about, so did you leave after, like, a once, little bit after the Druid thing?
No, or? I stood with Eddie. My mission now was to get Eddie the world title.
Okay.
And I ended up getting Eddie the world title towards the end of 2000. And right when I won the world title, I had told, the owner told me, the Fed head told me he was hand passing the Fed down to his, like, his brother and his cousin. And I felt at that time, the Fed head was really the only one I felt who could put up with my bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I knew if his brothers took over, things would change and they'd kind of try to curve Eddie a little bit. So I told him, listen, once I win the world title, just have me leave the title in the ring and walk out. And we kind of went out together. He did that for me in my last thing. And I mean, I told him, I'm like, if you leave me here with your brothers and your brothers try to change me, I'm going to throw the title in the trash. Like, I'm going to throw the title in the trash. And he was like, no, let's go out together. So we have spent so much time communicating together over the last 2 years. He kind of did me that solid and he let me put the title in the ring and walk out with him. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is late 2000, you just said?
This was late 2000, yeah.
So late 2000, you walk off. How long is this break you take from
WWF? I come back to E-Fedding in 2007.
Wow, you took a six-year break?
Yeah, well, right after, I was in little small feds trying to find my niche again. And they were like maybe 2 months here, 3 months there, 2 months here. And mm-hmm. I couldn't find my niche. I was trying all different characters. I mean, Eddie was black one time. You know, I used a Tyrese pick base. You know, Eddie was the manager to a female and an all-women's wrestling E-Fed. I mean, Eddie went through a lot of different, you know, dimensions. And I couldn't grab onto anything. I tried my own Fed soon after I left RWF. And I tried poaching a lot of the guys from RWF. And I did successfully. And the Fed was okay for a year. But I was the only guy. I had no writers. I had no, like, matchmakers. I had nothing. I did absolutely everything. And I had to choose. Like, did I want a girlfriend and stuff? Or did I want to be E-Fedding? My girlfriend, you know, she was like, come on, Ed. All the time. You got to write matches this weekend again? You're doing that every weekend. And I'm like, yeah, but nobody wants to help. And it started becoming a little frustrating for her when I'm spending a lot of Friday and Saturday nights writing 8 or 9 matches. And after about 8 months, I just kind of let it go. Mm-hmm. And I dabbled in other feds in 2001 leading into 2002, but nothing serious. And then I just finally hung it up. I never thought I would come back to E-Fedding.
So So she knew about what you were doing. It wasn't one of
these. Oh, no, she was in an E-Fed before.
Oh, all right.
That's yeah, she was cool. Down with it. She had her own character. She was loving it. She thought it was really creative. It gave her a creative outpost. She liked the fact that her writing was going against somebody else's writing. And, you know, she's kind of a smart ass. You know, she got a good head on her shoulders. So she liked that competition. And she played a male character. So it kind of worked for her. She liked it. But then when she realized how much time and effort it really took into creating characters before you became bland, she was like, oh, forget this. And then she dropped it in like 6 months.
I know a lot of people like that. You kind of show them what it is and then it's like, oh, this is not, cause like I have a couple of friends who are like creative writing majors and whatnot. And they just like, oh man, I want to write, but I don't like want to write a lot. And I said, do you like wrestling? I was a fan. Okay. Here you go. And I would show them, and they're like, oh, this is interesting. I was like, yeah, you know, and it's judging, so it's competitive creative writing. Like, you think of a character and whatnot, boom, here you go. And I just think that at the time, they were just too far ahead in terms of, like, where the Fed was. Because, yeah. Like, during that time, I want to say it was around, like, 2007, 2008-ish, the feds that I were in were really all shoot all the time. No, maybe 100 words or like 100 words was like the average. So they come in, they're writing.
Where are those days gone?
Yeah, I know, right? I feel like if I don't, my opening setting isn't 100 words, I do something wrong sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like if I haven't set the tone in my first 2,000 words,
right?
Lost.
Oh man, but they're coming in. They get everything in like 700 words, and then they start the actual promo. Like they do the little character development stuff, like stuff that everybody's doing now for the most part.
Yeah,
and they're like, I'm not winning. Like, what? This is good. I don't like they basically attack the Fed head because like they're going to be creative writing majors. They're going to school for that, and they know what's good writing. Like what's good creative writing and whatnot. And they're like, this is good. The pacing's good. This stuff tells a story. Its characters are really. And they're like, why is TJ winning? And I'm like, fuck if I know. I'm like, I thought it was good. Yeah, and I guess it was too long. And they're like, dude, you wrote 500 words. How many did you do? 3,000. Oh, that might be why.
Yeah. That could be a deterrent.
Yeah, right?
Could be a deterrent.
Like, if I write 3,000 words, that's my next month of role-playing. I don't need anymore. Like, I'm done.
Yeah. Back then, wow. I mean, I always did a max of about 1,000. Like, even when I first started in RWF, mm-hmm. I just wrote. I wrote because I was in college and I was bored and I had nothing to do and it was better than, you know, roaming the campus. So I was like, you know, I just sit in the computer room writing all day. But then after I left and started dabbling in all these other feds, I was noticing like I was losing to guys who were dropping like a paragraph and a half on me. And I had like North by Northwest on my roleplay board. And I was like, why I'm not winning? I got 4 pages. You got to go to the next thread. And guys are like, we ain't trying to read all that, man. And I'm like, but come on, it's good. And they're like, no, we're not reading anything past 3 paragraphs. So I then curved my writing, and then now look.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember those days. It was like back and forth. And you talked about it on Code Red, and I echoed your statements to a point.
Cause like, I saw it.
I completely agree. Like, it's... Sometimes it's great. It's so much fun to be able to just like have one of those like, all right, I have nothing to do. You have nothing to do. We each got 2,000 words a piece. Write a piece. You write a piece. I write a piece. You write a piece. We're gonna go until deadline. Those are great. But this, I mean, I can't do that nowadays.
You know, I get it, and I can't either. I mean, I I got a job. I'm married. I got kids. I coach and. And then it's just, you know, I always set out time. And I know everybody's different. Everybody deals with different things in their life. We all have a life.
Yeah.
It's just, it gets frustrating. And now I'm talking as a ex-staff member. It was frustrating dropping an RP on, like, Monday, knowing you got 2 weeks and knowing the guy you're wrestling against is on the chat board 7 out of 10 days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know... 2 hours before the deadline, there goes the drop, and there's no time for me to counter and have fun with it.
Yeah.
So that became real unmotivating for me. And I know it wasn't against the rules, like I posted it. It wasn't against the rules, but it was still in my head like, man, let's go back and forth. Come on, guy, let's go. We can really make this fun. We can make people get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody is in that frame of mind of e-fetting, because a lot of the guys are really good. I read a lot of their stuff. They're all good. You know, TMR, Brandon Garcia, Rex Everett, really good stuff. I just wish that I could see back and forths, you know, like when I was judging matches, I wish I could see like TMR and then his opponent and then him and then his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Writing this match is going to be awesome. But I would see like one on Wednesday and then like 8 days later, I'd get another one, and then that would be it. And then I'd be like, damn, this is it? There's only 2? All right, I guess this is all I got. And then as a wrestler, dropping what I would drop on Monday, and I would leave a lot of little loopholes in there for guys to attack me with, and they would. But they would at a point where I didn't have a chance to respond, and I started thinking, you know, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And then my last few RPs have all been at the deadline because I'm like, all right, I'm tired of leaving myself out to dry, and I don't get the same... get back, you know? It's like you just keep giving oral sex and you're not getting anything. You know? It's like, come on, man. So it's like, what the fuck's the point, man?
Yeah.
So forget it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like, you know, if that's a situation where you write one and you set them up for some of these stuff, because you can, if you're good enough, you can do that and make it obvious to people who are reading it. It's like, all right, okay, they're setting that up. Like, that's not, they're not dumb enough to just leave that there. They're doing it on purpose. And, like, if you know the person, like, your personality, some other people's personality, they like going back and forth, where it's like, oh, that's good. Like, that's good. Okay, that's where it led to. I like it. There we go. And it's going to keep going back and forth. If that person is, it's like one on one, and the other person completely just does a response piece, and then he fills in those holes, but he doesn't, like, leave anything to go as far, either, whether time or content. It sucks for the first person. If I were a judge, I'm like, all right, well, their piece is completely original. Everything is come up from them. They're like, in the terms of, they didn't need anything set up for them. Not in terms of that's copied. It's like, that's their thoughts, their words, and everything's put together. This person is their thoughts made from this person's thoughts and whatnot. Like, I just feel like that, as far as my feelings on that goes.
I agree. I mean, me and Talon, we talked a lot about it. You know, to say the least, we tug of war a lot when I would have to judge matches. And I'd be like, excuse me. I'd be like, this guy, yeah, he said some really awesome stuff. And this guy kind of just kind of gave it back to him, kind of rebuttaling. And I think I like this guy's better. But the rebuttals were so catchy and so on point,
yeah,
so timely. It's like, how can you not give it to that guy? But I'm like, well, he didn't really come up with the stuff. He was given. He was the fastball went down the middle. All he did was swing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but it's,
I always feel like you should have at least two role plays in you. You should have one that's completely of your thought, and then you have the response to whatever they do.
Like, exactly. Exactly.
Like, when I came back from fedding for my break, I was in APW, and I saw that you had the two options were overdrive or asylum. Overdrive's one role play limit, 4,000 word limit. And then over or asylums, two role plays, 2,000 words, and then it ended up being a 2,500 word limit. I'm like, I want to go there because at least, yeah, it's biweekly, but I can also role play and
get like, some get
and,
back.
Yeah, and like kind of, and it's a tempered because like the worst part about it is when you're doing that is the guy who knows you don't have enough time, but he's so competitive that he's just barraging you with. Basically the same shit, but said in different ways.
Man, I can't get into it with that because I know we have a certain limit of time on our show. But yeah, I've had my feel, and it's one of the reasons why I left the staff at CRW. I ran the Apex division, so I was a lot of guys didn't like my style. And before the season, I would create a rubric and said, this is exactly what I'm looking for. This is how I'm going to judge it. This is my expectations. You know, it is a one RP limit, but let's put two together. If you could give me 8,000 characters on one, how about splitting that up? And, you know, let's get some stuff going.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys didn't like that about me running, you know, as Jack Bookman running the Apex division. And so to kind of, you know, Talon's a great moderator. You know, he knows how to, you know, he works really well with getting everybody to work together. And so he would say, okay, you know what, this guy's really good, so we'll, how about if we pass him off this way, and then, you know, he'll go maybe go for this title, and then Ed, you could work on the Apex stuff over here. And I would always be like, no, that guy got to come through the Apex division. I don't care. And then, you know, I'd be like, no, he's that good. Let him prove himself in the Apex division. And Tyler would be like, yeah, but your styles contrast. And I'd be like, you know what? It's cool. I mean, there's nothing I could say. No matter what, Talon had the final say. And I never argued with Talon. Whenever we had a thing where we went back and forth, we would hang up the phones like, all right, whatever. And then we'd call each other back. Nah, man, you're right. Sorry, man. We'd apologize. Because ultimately, this is a game, you know. And I never tried them. It's like fantasy sports. You know, I'm in fantasy baseball and football with my friends, and we get, you know, they offer each other shitty trades, and I get mad at them, but I try not to be mad at them in real life, only in fantasy baseball. So it's like that. I don't think anybody should ever be mad at anyone personally. when it comes to e-fedding, but I could see people being upset at the way a character is portrayed. So I left the staff for that. I left because I didn't like what, like, I didn't like finishing up a show thinking, you know, here I go, I just gave up my weekend. And I come to find out I did 10 things wrong. So that, along with not really seeing two guys RP and then going, okay, I think this guy won. And now I'm hearing shit from a lot of different people saying, how did this guy win? Why did he win? And it's like, I don't know. I just felt like I was losing my motivation and it was interfering with my own character that I had in the Fed. And I kind of just wanted to drop e-fedding altogether again. And I was about to quit in March. Like, my last match was going to be Mayhem. And I had talked to Talon about me just leaving altogether. I felt like I was burnt out, but I still had a lot to do with Ed. And he was like, well, just give one more match. Get that one more match. And I said, all right, if I'm going to put one more match, I'm going to put everything I have into one more RP. And then lo and behold, I pulled it out my ass. And I did an RP that everybody seemed to really, really like. And I appreciated the positive feedback I was getting. And I was like, there you go. That's, I still have that in me. I still got a lot of juice left. And a lot of guys were like, you know, you shouldn't leave it. You got a lot of juice left. But maybe you shouldn't do the staff thing no more. And I said, you know what? And I just took myself off the staff. Sorry for ranting, man.
It's fine. We'll definitely get back to it. Because there's obviously more stuff there. That, like, at least for follow-up for me on my end. There's probably more stuff for you. But, I mean, got it. It's down the road from where we're at right now. Because we're still...
I'm sorry. It's fine. No.
It's your e-fed journal. I say it to everybody who's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, no, it's cool. Like, the thing I send you as far as like the whole like guy, like what we cover, it's not a timeline. It's not a certain set. Well, it's just, that's what we're going to cover. Cool. Not just, it's not how we're going to cover it.
Cool.
So you to pick up back where we were before we both, cause back I also helped it.
Let's get back to Earth. Yeah.
So you left Robo Wrestling Federation. You left it because you were basically the guy. You also left e-fedding because you were putting together, you were basically a one-man show, putting together all these shows, and you weren't getting any help. Your girlfriend was kind of like, why again? And you made the choice, life, over e-fedding, which is...
Yes.
Anybody who chooses the other way around, Godspeed. Because, like, like, you... I know this is going to sound like I'm disrespecting him, but you didn't have much of a life outside if that's the case. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not knocking them. Your life, you live it the way you want, but there's a shit ton of shit out there that I'm not going to give up just for e-fedding. If somebody goes, hey, you want to e-fed all your life? nah, I'm good. If it's either e-fedding for my entire life or not e-fedding at all, I'm going not e-fedding at all.
Yeah, you gotta have. You kind of have to.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, and to kind of to echo, it became a job for you at a point.
Yes.
And that's what I don't want, and that's why I like doing this because, you know, role playing sometimes gets boring, it gets tedious. This is always fun.
You just compacted that 6-minute rant I gave into fucking one sentence. It became a goddamn job for me. And I'm like, what? how am I stressed out? Yeah. Why am I angry? Why do I have a fucking deadline?
Yeah, right? Oh, man. But here's, like, I mean, and that's not a bad thing.
But
at the same time, you got into this game because your buddies, people who had a common interest, who ended up being buddies, said, hey, you interested in doing this? And you're like, yeah. And it became a hobby. And then it became... a responsibility, and then it became like a job without the pay.
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting paid to do this, nobody's going to bitch about it, but nobody's getting paid. So, I mean, that's... But you leave, and you leave for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
What made you come back to Robo Wrestling Federation? Or what, not just that. What made you come back to e-fedding?
All right,
that's a long time.
Once a year, I would get an email from the guy who... the original owner left it to. One of the three guys. The original owner of RWF left it to three guys. They all got married. They did their own thing. They went on to live life. But one of them didn't. And he stood with it And he every year, the Fed ended up closing down in 2003 for good. But this guy, every year, I would get one email saying, hey, Ed, would you like to bring Eddie Krueger back? I want to get some of the old crew back together and resurrect the Fed. And every year I said, hell no. Just like that. My email was, hell no. And then I got into fantasy baseball with him because he needed another guy. So through fantasy baseball, we'd always talk trash, but then e-fedding always came up. And so what happened was I went to college in 98, 99, and 2000, and I never finished. So in 2008, I went back. Okay. So I would have a lot of time in my hands when I was at campus waiting for my classes to start. And so I didn't have anything to do. And one day I got the email again. Hey, Ed, I want to bring the whole crew back. This is the list of guys I have on board. And we're going to do an invasion angle with HWA. We're going to bring our guys to their Fed. And we're going to have writers and everything. Because this guy can never hold anything together. But I said, well, if somebody else is running the show, maybe it'll be good. So I said, cool. You know what? And I recognize some names. I recognize Talon's name, though we never had words. I when I left, he was just coming in. When I left, when I put my title in the ring, I don't know if he was there at the time, but I knew I always went back to RWF to check it out, and I remember seeing his name there and a few others. And I was interested again. I said, you know what? Let's see. I have about an hour and a half to kill, you know, 3 days out the week. I'm just sitting here waiting for my next class to start. And I got back into it, and the crossover, the takeover angle was a success. The other Fed was willing to play ball, and they had their own writers. And he was becoming a real schmuck to that prez. And that prez wrote me on a side email. He said, hey, I'm just letting you guys know that we're going to end this angle earlier than I wanted to because your president is being a real douche about how he wants to run the angle, and he's not working on anything we agreed on. So I just don't want you to waste your time anymore. This could be your last RP. I really like you. You know, if you want to stay, you always have a roster spot here. And I was like, this Fed looks like it's running well. I didn't know that Talon was already working with him on like his own angle. And so at the very end, we were going to do an angle where everything blew up. And it was the HWA versus RWF, the very last show. And HWA was going to get the ultimate like top dog reaction. They were going to pretty much take over the whole thing. And at the very end, we kind of pulled that ECW on the WWE thing where I took off my RWF shirt and I was wearing an HWA shirt. And
you bastard.
And I went with HWA, and little did I know that Talon had an angle running with his contract with the other person, and he ended up turning HWA too. And then the thing was, at first, me and Talon didn't even like talk because we found out later that prez was kind of saying things to both of us about each other, kind of like bullshit high school bullshit. But I never got into it. I was like, whatever, I don't even know the guy. And you know, he would always tell Talon stuff about me, and we never really saw eye to eye. We never even talked until one day I kind of saw him online. I'm like, hey, what's up? And then, you know, it went from there. But that's how I ended up in HWA and back in e-fetting.
Nice. That's good. Because, I mean, we all hear the stories how guys leave, but they stay in touch with people. But they're like, yeah, you know, I don't really feel like coming back. And people are like, come on, like, one last run. Because, but the problem is, everybody knows. The guy on the other end of that who's hearing, come on, one last run, knows one last run's going to turn into another 10 years of this shit. And, like,
It happens.
I've been in this thing for what, eight years? Yeah, 8 years. And like I could imagine what it'd be, because I mean but the thing is, like, I go on that Jericho like schedule where like I'm on for about at the most about a year, and then I'm taking a couple months off. Like I took 2 months off between APW and CRW. And then my other Fed, I asked for the time off and up until really about now. And it's just like, it's awesome because I'm just sitting there like, yeah, I don't have to worry about anything. And I come back. And normally it's whenever I'm like really just dead with ideas. And rather than try to force it out, because you don't want to do that.
No.
Because then you hate the game. You're like, fuck, I have to do this.
Yep.
So just kind of, you know, sit back and be like, I don't have to do anything. And then one day the dam will be full of water again, and then you won't be able to help hold it back. So
yeah, that's EFED life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cycle of EFED.
So you're in Hardcore Wrestling Alliance, mm-hmm. and thankfully, hardcore is spelled hardcore, no K.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my own thing. It just bugs me that it's extreme with an
wheel.
X.
Trying to fix the wheel.
Yeah, it's that extreme stuff with an X.
It was basic. It was simple.
Anything that's plural that ends with a Z, unless it's the Hardy Boys, that's the, or Dudley Boys, only two things that get away with that. This is my pet peeves. I don't understand. It's just, so you're in there. You're actually there with Talon, but this is before you guys actually know each other. If anybody who's listening to this has listened to the Talon one, you know about the whole story, the whole Robo Wrestling Federation, Hardcore Wrestling Alliance story. Not really need to rehash it. And Eddie kind of really told his part of it. So you're in here in, not, well, you're here, but you're in HWA.
Mm-hmm.
After you do the whole reveal at the end of the story, where does Eddie Phoenix, or is he still Eddie the K?
Well, it's Eddie K.
Eddie K. Not Eddie. Why did I say Eddie the K? Maybe that just rolls off the tongue
cool.
quicker.
It was Eddie K. And Eddie right K. when I came in, they put me straight. He threw me straight into his like big tournament, his big December tournament. And I did okay. I got to the third round. Where I lost to Michael Dredge, and I was like okay. And then right at that point, I started getting. Finals started coming up, and like I said, it was my first year back in college, and I wanted to really put my head into it, and I ended up telling the president, listen, I want to, after this tournament, I just want to take, I don't want to come back until after your, you know, your next pay-per-view, which is at the end of January, and then that turned into the end of February, and eventually turned into the end of March, when I eventually came back. And then when I came back just beaming with, like, stuff that I couldn't wait to get out. And I ended up kind of kayfabing my own character, in a sense, saying Kruger was kind of my wrestling name. My real name is, Eddie Fonseca. My birth name was Eddie Fonseca, which is my actual name. But, you know, my wrestling new name from my father's side was Phoenix, with a F-E-N-I-X. But I'm going to go with Phoenix, like Phoenix. And I played on the whole thing of, you know, it's wrestling, so I could change my name, you know. And I made some jokes about Hickenbottoms and guy in Irvine's and in my RPs and stuff like that, just so I can eliminate the whole K Kruger RWF thing, mm-hmm. and kind of start fresh with a brand new storyline. Still holding on to, because my storyline in RWF was I was a druggie. I used drugs a lot. I was on coke. I was always doing coke and volume and ecstasy.
It's a hell of a life.
Yeah. And, you know.
Hey, I wrestle. I do coke. I'm basically.
I mean, some of my storylines where I would be in a pay-per-view and I would want to just, you know, let him win. You know what? I'm just going to pass out over a coke overdose. You know, and I guess that's why the president liked me, because I didn't care about winning and stuff. I was like, let him win. He deserves it. I just pass out on a coke overdose and him. And. So
no, that's cool. I got my money to pay for the coke. I'm good. That's all I came for.
Yeah, I was like, it was like that. That RVD, like, cool. Everything's cool. Mm. And then when I came to HWA, I kind of wanted to keep that story part of me alive. I used to use drugs. I was in rehab. But I kind of wanted to just, like I came from that. I fell apart, and the 5 years I spent the way I spent in Japan, my storyline was I went to Japan to clear my head, get away from the United States, get away from all the bad influences, and I came back, and, you know, this is where I was. And then I started working off there put a whole bunch of characters around me to help me feed off stuff, and kind of just went from there.
Okay. I love hearing the backstories of the guys. Talon, learning how he's kind of a guy who's just in wrestling to be in wrestling and be a name and whatnot and just not care about the little people.
Yeah.
It was interesting because it's completely opposite of what Talon is really right now.
No, as far as
like his persona. And now Eddie Phoenix, Eddie K, Eddie Krueger being a guy who, I really don't need to wrestle. You just pay me and I'll pay my coke dealer. That's all that we care.
I get my drugs and my liquor.
I'm good.
And that's it.
And then the guy's like, as long as you don't throw him here, you just won't know about it. How about that, guy? How about that, boss?
And then I'd make fun of their gimmick. And
yeah, right?
and that was it.
So, was that the Ringmaster tournament?
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I went to look at Talon's notes real quick to see if it was the same tournament and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that's in, was that in 2008?
That was 2007.
2007, okay. So, you perform well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting your character together and whatnot. You're getting back into the things. And then you said you had finals during that time?
Like,
or you were just done?
The Ringmaster was around April, May.
Okay.
And I was going to college, and then my new semester came, and it was a shit schedule, bro. And, I had all type of psychology classes and, like, shit that make you want to shoot yourself. And it was really, really hard. And I found myself only wanting to run to the computer to RP just to not do this homework and read. And I knew that I couldn't do that. Like, I knew I had to take this serious. So I talked to the president and said, hey, how about we run a storyline that I just disappeared? Like, you know, nobody knows. And then, you know, eventually be that I died because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. You know, college is kicking my ass right now. And so after a few months, he would always send me, hey, are you coming back? Are you coming back? Come back. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying. And they said, you know what? How about if we just have it that we found you dead somewhere? And then I was like, you know what? That's probably the end of Eddie Phoenix then. And I guess E-Fedding had his run, and I got to put it away. And
your one last run, you had it.
It didn't work out. Yeah, I just felt like, all right, I got to take school serious. You know, I got both my boys now at the time. You know, they were 4 and 2 years old. So I was like, all right, you know, it was fun. It was fun 10 years ago. Maybe I got to let it go. And then I ended up getting the second semester, and my schedule wasn't that bad. And so one of the pay-per-views where I was actually going to just put it in, and he was going to give me the 10-bell salute, and they were going to have the whole, you know, when a wrestling dies, all the wrestler comes out on the ramp. And on that show, I'm like, don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I'm back. I'll dedicate myself to you. I am back. And he was really excited that I was back, so he turned the 10-bell salute. Actually, on the 10th bell, my music hit, and I came out, and then we played the whole storyline that, you know, I left because I had to fulfill my contractual obligations in Japan, and I owed a lot of people over their money, and I couldn't break my contract with them. And now I'm back, and this is why I left. You know, while I was over there, I was making movies. I was wrestling under a mask called the Green Dragon, and it was a really good storyline that we put together for about 3 or 4 months.
Okay. Well, that's good. And this is the same guy who was running, what was it?
Sinister? Yes, Sinister.
Sinister? Did you listen to Talon's one?
I didn't. I couldn't find how to load it up. That's like when we first came on. I'm like, so where could I listen to these things?
Oh, I'll give you the link. It's on the site. It's on E-Fed Journal.
I didn't know if it was a podcast. I didn't know if I had to go to like iTunes. I didn't know if you were like streaming it through another site.
Nah, it's I put them all on my Blogspot page, which is efedjournal.blogspot.
That main page, they're all there.
Yeah, they're all there. Oh, and it's cool. And just click on that music bar.
Could I upload them so I could put them on my iPod?
Oh, yeah. They all have a download through MediaFire.
I mean, download them, yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Cool, cool.
And then you can put them all on your iPod. That's very cool. I'm just retarded. I don't know how to put them on iTunes. And I just – everybody's telling me, and I'm like, I don't speak English, people. I don't understand what you're telling me. It's like, this just works, and it's okay, because it's, I'll just do this. I have to ask.
Yes.
Did you have to shoot up any towns? It's going in, because
no. I felt bad for Talon. And those, I don't know if you told you, but the Fed was like an 80-20 Fed. It was 80% storyline, 20% RP. So no matter how well you RP'd, it all came down to what the president wanted to do storyline-wise. So you could literally destroy someone. And if he wasn't ready to have you winning or in a streak, you just wasn't going to win and you had to deal with it. And I dealt with it because I liked that. I was strictly there just to write. So winning and losing was like, whatever. But I felt bad. And I would tell Talon, oh, I can't believe he injected you. Oh, I can't believe he dug up your dead brother and elbow dropped him. And I can't believe he kicked you in the nuts for the 100th time. Oh, I can't believe he broke you out of prison and you were blowing up and killing him. I can't believe he's doing this to you, man. This is the... When that happened, when I was like a prison break and
yeah, and
like
he shoots up.
Blew up, I RP'd the very next day about, yo, so how was that movie shoot?
Yeah, right?
It was tense.
And he was telling me about it. He's like, yeah, so Eddie was just like kind of upset by it, so he just completely no-sold it with me.
Yeah, I no-sold it like it was a movie shoot. Like, out of wrestling, Sinister got him a contract to do a movie, and they were having this awesome movie. And I'm like, I can't believe this bullshit. How is this supposed to be a real Fed, and we're killing people without no real, like, repercussions? It was just...
Yeah, right?
It was driving me crazy because I felt like I was trying to bring real-world perspective into the Fed with a lot of guys who were trying to make our real-life world and e-fedding world kind of seamless to what was going on, matching dates, stuff that was going on in real life. And then to, like, be injecting people, to have Dark Horse Towers, like, evil towers.
Oh, my God. I was just sitting there like, I'm all for creativity. I really am. All right, but there is a line, and you can kind of go over it, but as long as you don't go over it all the time, I'm just saying, Senator Astor, was living, no, but he's a senator.
Oh. Yeah.
He was spelled S-E-N-ister, so I was like, he's Senator Esther. He lived on the other side of that line. Like, there was no crossing the line, because he crossed it. His mom gave birth to him on that line, and he ended up going.
Towers on the other side of those lines. It was ridiculous, bro.
I just remember, I mean, when you listen to it, my reaction to everything he says about that entire situation. Because what happened was, we had recorded it, and it didn't record, like, it didn't save it. Because my program was being, like, a bitch, and it would not open up when Skype opened up for some reason. And now I have it where it opens up. All, like, regardless, like, it opens up on the start whether I log into Skype or not. And so I went in knowing the story again. So I had to pretend that I didn't know the story. And he goes, I'm happy we redid this because I forgot some of this part. And I go, what? And he told me. And I was like, oh, my God. So at this point, but that was, like, before he talked about the Provo shooting again. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and now everything's just coming in, like, with new information. It's like, wow, everything's new. It was just, oh, my God.
It was bad.
The guy thinks he's God.
Yeah, it was bad. And we dealt with it because we liked our peeing. It was a Fed that kind of, like, it had a good foundation. And we liked kind of, like, sorry I'm saying like so much. I'm already, like, on my third shot. It was like, we liked the interaction between one another. Like, me and Talon fed off each other really, really well. We had great moments, RP moments. We had great RP battles whenever we faced each other. And it was really fun. And that's why we stood. And then we got Ronnie McNeil involved. And, you know, it was kind of cool. And when we stopped really giving a shit, we both had the world title. We both had the All-Star. He became a Grand Slam champion. I became a tag team and all that stuff. And we decided, you know what? He wants to go crazy, acting crazy, elbowing dead people and shooting people up with shit. This is what we're going to do. We're going to bring in the NWO. And it all happened because Tyler came to visit me, and we were sitting in the living room, and he just put on an old NWO video, and I went, how do we sign Hollywood Hogan, and he becomes our manager, and we resurrect the NWO and HWA. And oh my God, fell in love with the idea, and when we first brought it out, the guy was, and he refused to do it. And we were like, dude, for all the crazy shit that happens here, we can't bring back the NWO. Oh. NWO isn't just tied to Hogan. It's anybody who wants to bring back the NWO. Oh. And we're going to have Hogan. And Hogan was – he was a mark for Hogan, the president.
Oh, my God.
He was a super mark. So we said, and we'll do right by him. We'll treat Hogan good. He'll be the smart leader that he is. And
he smart went leader.
And he said – and the rules were, if you make Hulk Hogan look bad at any point, I'm going to drop the angle.
Oh, my God.
Fine, dude. Fine. And we created the NWO. Me, Talon, Merlin, and Ronnie McNeil. And we did it because we really wanted to help push Ronnie McNeil to get the world title. Mm-hmm. And along the way, we collected some more titles, and we were badass, just like the NWO. I created a secondary tag team there that did really well. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun with the NWO. Like, we were straight. It was almost as if though we came right from the 90s with the NWO right into it. And, you know, eventually even that wore itself out. And we'll get to that. You know, we'll get to that. You have a question, I know, with it that – you know, why did I leave HWA? So, anyway.
I mean, we can get, because I'm just, I'm still just, did you guys ever make Hogan look bad?
No, like, no.
No, oh. Hogan,
never, because.
Well, yeah, but at the time, like, I'm thinking, like, all right, well, when you get tired of the thing, you're just like, guys, you all right with, like, just making Hogan look like a fool, just take the piss out of this guy? I mean, yeah, let's do it.
I think Talon mentioned it a few times. Mm-hmm. But we used Hogan in the first few segments. He became a manager. And then we stopped using him because he had obligations in TNA. and so he couldn't be around a lot because he had obligations with another Fed. Mm-hmm. So we only brought him out for pay-per-views. And then we didn't properly dissolve the NWO. Like, we didn't just start attacking each other. But once Ronnie McNeil won the world title, he started becoming distant from us. Almost like, okay, yeah, I don't want to be part of the NWO no more. But he didn't tell us, so he kind of just started his RPs, and so we worked with it. We said, all right, now we're going to beat the crap out of this guy now. We're going to NWO it. But things didn't work out that well. Merlin ended up leaving sooner than he wanted to because he was kind of getting crapped on a lot, and it was just pretty much me and Talon at the point, and we kind of started going our, not separate ways, but we dropped the whole NWO idea. But it lasted from, like, January to May. And then we just kind of, like, fell out of it. And first of all, shows started taking longer and longer. When we became the NWO, literally, between January and May, there was only one pay-per-view and two shows that were posted up. And it's not like this guy didn't have writers. He had five writers. He just was so lazy. Like, he didn't want to take the time out to put the show together. That we literally, in 5 months, only had about three or four shows. And that kills motivation.
Yeah.
When you don't have shows, that kills. So we pretty much, our NWO lived through our RPs. We would RP knowing no shows were going to be out for the next 3 weeks. But we kept RPing because we had a great time with it. But it just, you know, when you're in May and you have only the third show has come out in the last 5 months, it's like, oh. And then he ended up, I don't know why, I ended up losing a title. And I'm never upset at losing titles. Mm-hmm. But the way I lost it and to who I lost it seemed more like he was angry at us for some reason. And we never found out why he was so angry at me and Talon. But we paid for it in the matches. We paid for it in the pay-per-views. And I felt like we were fucked over royally because we were some of the few guys who we like to take credit for it, but it's real. When me and Talon got there, the show, you know, it wasn't a lot of RPing going on. And when we got there, we started antagonizing and going at so many people that people just started RPing. And people were coming out the woodworks. Other people started joining. And it just became it was thriving. And I don't know what happened. Towards the end, he just made me look really, really bad, and I never knew why. He just shitted on me like in every show, but my passion stood the same, and I just couldn't take it no more. And then I finally, you know, Eddie Phoenix over there had a bar also, you know. Mm-hmm. And I started going crazy. And I guess one of the reasons he got mad at me is because I created a character that I could only see because I was starting to go crazy. And I named the character after the president of the company. Right? And so his real name was like Ken. I won't say his last name. And I made it, the pig base was Justin Timberlake, and only I could see him. And I would make him tell me things as the way he would tell me, like off the radio, off topic. Mm-hmm. And I would make him tell me it, and I would always deny it. No, that can't be right. That can't be right. And only I could see him, and I guess he started getting really mad that I was using him in this light. Mm-hmm. And it brought me back that I became Eddie K again, where I was becoming that antagonistic douchebag who is kind of blowing people's spot up, and like revealing things off screen that maybe I shouldn't have been revealing. Mm-hmm. But I just got so angry because he shitted on me for no reason. And the shit kept going and going and going. I didn't get shitted on once. It was like I became the welcome mat of the Fed. And I'm like, really, dude? I held almost every title in your Fed. How am I now the welcome mat for the last 5 months? Mm-hmm. So it sucked the way everything came down. I ended up burning down my bar and then jumping in a cab and leaving forever. And that was it. That's pretty. I never left on such bad terms with the Fed than I left there. Mm-hmm.
So you leave. You leave HWA.
Yeah.
And you go. You leave in a blaze of glory. Let's be honest. So, is that? Do you leave and then does Talon make Code Red Wrestling?
Well, we always talked about having a thing where we could take all the best parts about all our feds and put them together. And he was already working behind the scenes with Ronnie McNeil on acquiring kind of like boards and stuff like that and looking around. And I told him, the minute you get something, let me know. I want to be down. I want to be staff. I want to bring in Eddie. And we could have a great foundation. You know, we could poach HWA for some of their better guys and we could start something. And Tyler started... You know, I can't remember who he was working with. And so no disrespect to anybody listening. I just can't remember who exactly he was working with, where he got the boards and the Fed and everything running. And he created CRW, Code Red. Before I even said anything, I'm like, yeah, so what's up? What are we going to name it? He was like, it's a Code Red. I was like, okay, that sounds cool. And this is what it's going to be. And I'm like, oh, you already got the goddamn business plan worked out. Fine, cool, let's go. And he was real, like, passionate and adamant about it. And I was, like, I was on board with him the whole way. He was leading the charge, and I was going to be behind him, helping him out with whatever he needed. And I just told him, listen, I just want to take the summer off, though, man. I can't come in right away. He was like, oh, don't worry, the show, the first pay-per-view is going to be in September. So you, Ronnie, and me, we're the staff. Let's come up with names now for all the shows and how we're going to do this. And, you know, I had came up with the idea of having, like, let's do this in seasons and let's give guys the summer off so they don't get burnt out. And at first it was a great idea. And then Talon ended up saying, yeah, but if we give people too much time off, they might not come back. They might lose motivation. They might lose steam. So, you know, he decided on the 2 or 3 week break at most. And then we just worked out the pay-per-view names. The shows were going to be bi-weekly. And he just started, he hit the pavement recruiting, like mad. We brought in some guys we knew, Michael Dredge, Ronnie McNeil, Merlin, and Draconis, you know, he was also in HWA. Fallen was in HWA. So we brought in some guys from HWA, and that's pretty much where it started.
So, and then I was talking to Talon, and they were, when you guys had the, I believe it maybe it was the first or second pay-per-view, when they were naming, they were doing the world title thing, and I think it was you and Dredge were going against it, and they made it, they I think it was like Talon's got to pick a side, apparently.
That was the first pay-per-view ever. Yeah.
And he picks Dredge over you, right?
Yeah.
And then makes you basically the face of the company, and he's heel.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that? Because, you know, it's...
Wow. All right.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go. Because whatever I had to say is just going to be...
It became a three-way with Logan Nielsen. He had also earned a spot. He came with us from HWA. He had some prelim tournaments beforehand during the summer, which I took part of here and there. And he came. We quite didn't know. Talon, I could tell he didn't know who he wanted to have be the first world title holder in CRW. And, you know, a lot of talks are going back and forth. And I told Talon, listen, that's not something I need to be, but just whoever you choose is going to be the guy that when we try to recruit and people come see the Fed, they're going to want to know, why does this guy have the title? How does he RP? What does he do? So you're going to have to put the belt on someone who you feel, if not the most comfortable, but at least can be that factor that everyone's going to either love or hate really bad. And so we RP'd, all of us RP'd. I'm not quite sure how he chose it, if it was RP-based. I think he said it was RP-based, and I got edged out. But I didn't, as a writer and staff, I never like to know the outcomes. I felt like already writing was killing it for me because I'm kind of seeing everything that's happening. So I always told him, never tell me the outcomes of my match. Just let me read it on the pay-per-view. So then we reading it, and I'm watching it, and it's looking like, oh, okay. So, you know, I told him I wanted to come in as face, as the good guy of the Fed. And he turned against me. And I thought I would just lose with a swift cuts and I'd get pinned. But for Talon to choose sides and go with Michael Dredge, I was like, wow, man, holy shit. And I started thinking, like, what did I do something wrong? Is this another case? Like, did I upset Talon? And I started thinking about it in that way instead of just going, this is a great storyline, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Talon was like, dude, I just wanted to surprise you. I felt like he edged you out a little. Could have went either way, but I gave the nods to him. But I thought this would be awesome because we've been friends for so long. I think going at each other would be real fun. And I thought it'd be a great surprise. And so then I was like, you know what? It was fantastic. It was the absolute best surprise. Let's do this. You know, for that 10 seconds, I was like, did I do something wrong? Like, did I fuck up somewhere? You know? But it wasn't. You know, it was just me being crazy. So, you know, he was just like, and I loved it. After that, I was like, you know what? This is the best thing that could happen because Dredge was such a good heel. Like, he really made people not like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it worked out. And then I'm like, well, you know, Talon, me and you're going to have a blow-off match. Like, this can't stay. Everyone knows our history in HWA. You left HWA with all your money, created a Fed, brought in your friend, you know, who you was good friends with over there to come in your Fed and help you out, and now you turned against them. There's got to be some get back. So, you know, we talked about how that was going to go, and, you know, then we had the match in Mayhem, you know, between me and Talon. So
that was that. You know, I talked to it about Talon. He loved it. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like you're in the same boat. You loved working that first angle. Really the first big angle of CRW.
Yeah.
And apparently, because I, you know, talking with Rex Tritch, Talon likes to do that to people. He likes to surprise people. And I like that. Because, you know, at least this way, it's not like, what happened? Like, why'd that happen? Like, that's not cool. Like, it's, no. Like, it's not something to screw you out. No, it's a surprise, and it keeps everybody, like, on their toes in terms of, like, all right, I don't have to know everything to have fun.
Yeah.
So, you were a season one original,
mm-hmm.
As well as staff.
Mm-hmm.
You ran the Apex, as we talked about. You know, as I do with all my guests, I say, you know, give me the Fed you were in with your character and then what your accomplishments were. And you have winning the Crucible in 2000. You won that in 2011, mm-hmm. right? That's something that everybody can relate to and say, like, yeah, that's you know, it's an in-character, it's role-playing based. Like, yeah, I've won something like that. But your other accomplishment is, and this one I actually like, because you don't see it often, is successfully running the Apex Division without ever having conflict of interest with my main character and making sure the division stood seamless from the start of the season until the end, almost like 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of making the thing that happened in day one and the thing that happens in day 101 somehow make sense, somehow connect with one another. Sorry. I'm like a huge fan of, like, if you do something here along the way, I'm always going to remind people. I'm always going to keep people involved loosely in that angle. I'm always going to bring it back. I'm always going to have it mentioned in RPs. I'm always going to keep people remembering what's going on as a whole. So at the very end, the big blow off, it kind of makes sense. From the very first day to the end, every single person who walked through the Apex felt as if though they were going to be at the very end, that they had a legacy in the Apex Division. They had a foundation. And rather they liked me or hated me or didn't agree with the way I did things, I always tried to keep everyone from day one involved seamlessly, where, you know, this is the reason you're here, because when you won this and this pay-per-view, and it all made sense. One thing I hate, and I don't like blowing off angles because somebody's a dickhead or somebody quit the Fed or, you know, someone told me to go fuck myself. I won't blow up the angle. I won't say, okay, that's it. You're not getting that angle no more. Listen, if we talked about a story, if we have some things worked out and you already got RPs going and this guy's excited and we're going to make this last 2 or 3 shows, we're going to do that regardless of your feelings for me. And you can even quit today. I'm going to probably carry you for one more show so the angle doesn't just die and leave everybody with their thumb in the ass. So that's always been my thing with the Apex. I took pride in that because if you read back, if I have any of the old stuff up or the old boards, if you can find them, I put a whole history of the Apex Division from season one all the way to the end, beginning of season one to the end of season one.
Wow.
And if you saw it, guys like Draconis and Merlin and Dante Ambrosi and all those guys, pretty much they were prominent in CRW in the Apex Division all the way until the end when Diego had that big three stages of hell match with Merlin. And then what happens in their contract signing? William Draconis, who was number two in my round robin in October, was now wanting his chance to shine. And we had all these other new characters like Doe and Mosh was coming up, stepping up to the plate. So it was something that whenever I take part of something, I always try to make sure that it's like a novella, man. Like, you're going to remember what happened 2 years ago because I'm going to make you remember in this match. And that's just something I really like to do.
That's good to hear. I like that. Because, you know, a lot of people, not just Fed heads, but or staff members, but also like characters, will be like, "Oh, I don't like you. I don't want to work with this person." We already talked about it, but you did something. I don't want to work with you anymore. Well, all right. You guys don't like each other, but at least finish it out or find a way to quickly end it. Like, because, you know, not only, like, it's a short-sighted thing, because you got to remember, you know, everybody else is reading the show. Or at least should be reading the show. And everybody who's reading the show is getting caught up in your angle. It's like the same thing that happens with WWE or TNA. They run an angle for 3 weeks. And you're like, oh man, I can't wait to see what happens. And then, with no explanation, it's done.
With nothing else.
Yeah, it's like,
attacks Mark Henry.
What? Yeah, well, yeah, but that's...
It was cool.
It was cool, and it's leading to something that's awesome. But
it's just out of nowhere.
Yeah, but I'm talking more of something along the lines of, like, Cesaro, what they've done with him over the last year or so, giving him a gimmick, like the yodeling gimmick.
Yeah.
Okay, he's starting to catch on a little bit. Done. No. What? Like, you didn't get a chance to breathe.
Yeah. And now you're with the Americans now?
Like, I like it, though. That's
no, it's awesome, but it was one of those things that McMahon thinks everybody has, you know, has the memory of a goldfish.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and now, you know, season two goes through, there was it season two there was a little bit of controversy? I'm not. I'm just. This is just what you. This is when you stepped away from the staff, right? Season two.
Yeah, I stepped away from staff in probably March or April.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're still running. I don't. They dropped the Apex. They dropped the divisions though for season two, right?
Or is it... Yes. They dropped the divisions in around Crucible, and we kind of had like a staff behind the scenes draft in a sense for that's when we were creating our divisions around Crucible, and we decided, you know what, let's just make all these hardcore divisions. Everybody will get about 6 or 7 people that we can work with, and you know. From the divisions we already had, let's hold on to a few people, kind of like, you know, untouchables. And now let's mix it. Let's mix up the pot and see where people land. And after a few months, it just – and they were right. You know, they were like, well, people in this division, it seems like these guys are just kind of fighting each other constantly for the last few shows. The same 3 guys are going at it, the same 4 guys. We need to have a bigger variety of guys who can face one another. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we can open up the divisions a little bit more. And I was always against getting rid of the divisions. I liked the divisions. It felt like a way to work your way up, show us that you're here for the long run, and, you know, at least commit to at least 6 months of being, you know, with the Fed. Mm-hmm. But I got it. I got why they did it, because they were across the board. They were great RPers. And, you know, when you have a great RPer and he has, you know, like a TV title, and you know very damn well he can be fighting for the Apex or maybe even the world, but now he got to go up the ladder slowly. He might lose interest and then never really get to that pinnacle, because now he has to go through all these steps to get there. So I understood, you know what, if the guy's ready, let's see how ready he is. Let's put him against, you know, guys that he could work himself up with. Mid-level guy, and then maybe the top guy, and then maybe the main guy. Instead of working up like 22 people. I got it. I get it. Do I agree with it? No, but I get the point of it, and it's cool. But that's when it started not being fun for me, I guess, because I didn't have a division now where I can focus storylines on and help guys with their angles. It was more like, all right, I'll take this guy's match, and I guess because their storylines from the Apex still ain't over. So let me just continue their storyline, and I guess I'll take this guy's match. And that's how it started feeling now, because everybody was kind of just fighting everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, you know what, then I don't know. And then stepped away from match writing a little bit, and then I took a match sometime in April. I'm like, you know what, let me get that match. I'll help out. It was one of those shows where some guys couldn't get their stuff in. I was like, Talon, which matches need to be done? He said, this, and that. I said, give me this one. I wrote the whole match, and then it didn't get used. I wrote 2 matches, and both matches didn't get used. One, because Talon thought the show was a little too long, and he felt that only one side RP'd and the other side didn't. So, you know what? Just let that be on the next show. And then the other one was, I guess it was completely my fault. He said, Ed, you didn't write the match. You didn't capture the 2 wrestlers well. You kind of wrote them wrong, completely wrong. And then I was like, it's all right. Cool. I wrote them wrong. I'll apologize in the OC, but let's see what they do with it. Maybe they like this new twist and this new turn of their character. You know, T was like, no, let's not do that. You wouldn't like that done to you, so let's not do it to them. And I'm like, all right, you got a point. And then new too, and I don't want to discourage any new people from continuing RP if you think the staff is just having their way with your guy any way they want. So I was like, you know what? I need to step away from match writing, because I don't have the juices anymore to be match writing, because I don't know. When I had the divisions, I really loved the guys in the division. They talked to me always and constantly communicated with me. And now it was kind of like I didn't really have that much communication, like direct communication. It was more like, okay, I'm writing your match. So what you want to do? All right. So I kind of just left it alone from that point on.
You do better when you know you're actually a part of the story. And that's I feel that way, too. That's why I don't always offer to write a match. Like, I can write a match, but at the same time, if I'm not into it 100%, if I don't know what it is, I don't trust myself to give the guys what they want, or give them more than what they want.
Exactly.
So it's one of these things, like, all right, well then, like, I wrote my match with Stone, and I was like, all right, this is good. You know, I feel that this is good enough for both of us. It showcases both the guys. But at the same time, I think that somebody else may have written it better, but this is something that I was doing, and I knew what I was seeing, and from what Stone told me, I saw what he wanted. And but like I said, things get lost in translation, where you might think that you have that thought. Like, oh, I got what they got. I'm what they want. I'm seeing it. I totally got this. And then it comes out, you're like, oh, so that's not exactly what you saw. All right, my bad.
And that would happen a lot with me. Yeah. Like, I'd be like, but it works well with this story, and it works well how this is going to work. And they'd be like, nah, man, but. And I'd be like, you're right, but mm-hmm. Oh, well, deal with it.
And it also helps that when you're a staff member of a division, you know what the division's going to – you know what the story's going to lead to. Well, it might not, you might not know where they're going with the story after that one match.
Exactly.
So I
can't put any interesting little tidbits with mm-hmm. the commentating and stuff because I'm like, who knows where this is going to go, mm-hmm. you know?
So you're on the verge of leaving again because Fedding's not for you, or at least you seem.
No, I just felt like this being part of the staff, my character, Eddie Phoenix, wasn't coming across right. As much as I tried to be the face, I felt, even when I wrote it, I was coming off phony, like a fake face heel type guy. Mm-hmm. And I started feeling that with the way people were responding to my piece. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the goddamn face. Why am I always made to look like the heel? I'm the face. But I would go back to the way I wrote, and I'd be like, I could see how this isn't face stuff in a way. I got a guy who I'm friends with over here, and I talk trash, and I drink a lot, and, you know, I could see that. And I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was being burnt out with writing matches, and then I had to then put time and effort into my own character. And it was starting to become, again, like a job. Like, what do I care about more at this point? Do I care about my own character, or do I care about my commitment I made to talent in writing these two or three matches? Mm-hmm. Which one? Something's going to take a hit. And I always felt like, you know what? I owe it to the guys who RP'd their asses off to try to put good matches out there. So I'd give that my full attention. And then I had to sit down and go, all right, let me do my RP now. And I would find myself just droning on and on and on. And it just didn't go nowhere. And so I was like, you know, maybe I just need to step away, come back with a mask or something. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Maybe I need to go shoot up at small town.
Yeah, maybe Utah. I got to do something crazy. You got to come back weird and like dress like a pirate. Like use all Johnny Depp's pics.
Reveal that Druid and Eddie Phoenix were the same person all along. That's why they could never be in the same place at once.
I was like, should I hit my head real hard and then be like a pirate for two shows and I could use all from Pirates of the Caribbean, and then maybe I could dress up as like the Mad Hatter and I could just keep putting on all these different outfits. I don't know. My pick base, everything was falling flat for me.
Speaking of your pick base, all right, so we've gone, we talked about it. It was Brad Pitt, right? In Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it a mixture of Brad Pitt with Johnny Depp? Because I know there was at one time it was Johnny Depp's face on a wrestler. Not as bad as Buck Dempsey's Nick Nolte's face being on some Japanese guy. I've seen that picture. Oh my God, that was. Frankenstein's looking at that thing going, no.
No good. No good. Fire burn.
Kill him with fire.
Well, actually, I never brought Brad Pitt. I haven't used Brad Pitt since the original RWF.
Okay.
When I joined HWA, I chose Johnny Depp. I'm like, all right, I need a guy who kind of fits where I'm at now, like that. Whatever, suave, real laid-back approach. And I didn't want to use a wrestler. I wanted to use a wrestler, because I noticed every Fed I would be in, when somebody won a title, their wrestling picture with a title would be in the front page. And I'm like, man, I would love that one day. I just want to be in the front page holding a title with my character, mm-hmm. instead of just having a little headshot of Johnny Depp in the corner saying world champ or champ or something like that. But I just couldn't get into any wrestlers at the time. Chose Johnny Depp. I felt like he was just laid back, brash, you know, he was easygoing, and that's kind of what I wanted to communicate to everybody. And then when I came to CRW halfway through, I changed him to CM Punk. And I became CM Punk for that reason. I'm like, you know what? I want more in-ring wrestling stuff. So it could be used in the front page, and I'm more intimidating with CM Punk. He got all these tattoos and he's ready to go. I just wasn't getting into the CM Punk character. And I know people were like, come on, man, it's just a pick base. Don't worry about it. You still got to RP. But when I RP, I envision my character saying these things. And I just couldn't envision CM Punk saying what I was saying. So I went back to Johnny Depp. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to Adobe this then. I'm going to put Johnny Depp on a body. So I put Johnny Depp's head. It was Randy Orton's torso with and get ready for this one, with Epico's legs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. I remember that. Oh.
And it wasn't the best, but God damn it, I wanted Johnny Depp to have a wrestling freaking physique. And I also used the kid. I forgot his name. The kid, Airborne.
Ivan Bourne.
Yeah, he's like, if you go to my profile, Matt Bourne's body and Johnny Depp's head, and I can never find a Johnny Depp face to make him look intimidating. He's always a quirky smile. So I'm like, fuck it. I don't care. I'm just going to use it. And it was bad, the one with the title and everything, but I'm like, I just need an intimidating Johnny Depp pic. Everything he has, he's wearing a white t-shirt and he's skinny, and I got to try to sell this guy as having some type of physique. So it wasn't my best work, but I just said, screw it. People, I just want people to get the idea of what this guy looks like when he has his white t-shirt off.
He looks like Randy Orton with Epico's legs.
It was bad. I take full credit for that. It was a monstrosity.
It's okay. It's okay.
Fuck it.
So, at this, to kind of almost wrap it up, you want to take a time away, and Town says, give it one more run, or give it one more match, and whatnot. And you say, fine, we give it all, because we've touched on this. And this is against Digger, right?
Yeah, we wanted to have a blow-off match. And I didn't want to leave without having that match against Digger. And I was like, listen, you know, I think this is it. Mayhem might be my last show. And he was like, cool. You know, if anything, we could do something there where you get really hurt and you're gone. You know, and I'm like, all right. You know, we had talked about a lot of different things, a gauntlet match with me against Aristus. We had talked about, you know, me going in a steel cage of Tobias and Digger interfering and destroying me from head to toe. But I was like, you know what? Let me just, me and Gravedigger, there's always been some type of interference. There's always been something happened along the way where we never got a 1-2-3 from any of us in our matches. You know what? Why don't we have a 3 stages of hell? And 3 Stages of Hell was something I personally wanted to be in, because when we were choosing the names for the pay-per-views, I was like, let's do Mayhem and let's make it an all hardcore pay-per-view. And Tyler was like, oh, come on, man, I hate hardcore. And I'm like, come on, man, it's Mayhem. He was like, that's so overused. That name is so overused. And I'm like, I don't care. Let's do it. So he went with it against his, you know, against him wanting to do it. He went with it to make me happy. And when we were sitting there, I was like, yo, we're going to have an ultimate thing. We're going to have a best 2 out of 3 for Diego and Merlin. And Tyler was like, ooh, like a 3 stages of hell. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'll let Merlin pick what he wants to do. I'll let Diego pick what he wants to do. And then myself, as the writer and as Jack Bookman, I'll pick the last one. And it just became a thing. So I felt, well, if I'm going to leave the Fed, I would like to leave in the 3 stages of hell match. And then Tyler was like, well, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to make a storyline? Do you want to make it RP? I was like, you know what? If I win, I go out on a good note. If I lose, then that gives Digger more push. It gives Aristus that, like, even that bigger push where he finally, you know, pinned 1-2-3 Eddie Phoenix. let's go straight RPs. And he went, okay, let's go that route. And, you know, I hadn't wrote a match for about a month and a half already. And just kind of sat down and just RP'd for that one. I just try to give it my very all for that last match. And like I said, when I got the positive feedback on it, I told myself, maybe I don't got to leave. Maybe I just got to focus on Eddie and Eddie alone. Mm-hmm.
And then you, with the win, you went on to face Pancho, Diego de la Vega, Code Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
And both you guys put out incredible work. You really did.
Thanks.
You fall short. And so, I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And it's the off season for your Code Red.
Yeah.
Any, without giving too much away, any plans for Eddie going into season 3?
Yeah, I wanted to become heel because I felt like that was naturally happening to me, even though I didn't want to be heel. Listen, for everybody out there, you can hate me, you can boo me. I'm a Cena fan, and I was John Cena when he was prototype in the California Indies, when he was fighting Leviathan, a.k.a. Batista. Mm-hmm. So I was following because I was a big Indies guy. I followed a lot of Indies scene, you know, a long time ago. And when he showed up to WWF at the time and he smacked Kurt Angle, I was like, yes, yes, Prototype's here, yes. And then he did the Vanilla Ice gimmick, and I was like, everyone was loving him. I was especially loving him because I kind of saw him from the ground up, and then he started becoming this other guy. And I've always been one who, like, I'm not going to leave the guy because he has a gimmick that I might not agree with and stuff. But I just like Cena because I know what he's capable of. I knew what he was. And I'm going to stick with him because one day I want to see that again. And I want to see him go heel, and that taste that he might go heel one day, one goddamn day. So I started basing a lot of my Eddie stuff on the Cena thing, where I was going to play off the charity work. I was handing out food when Superstorm Sandy hit, and I did all these RPs where I was handing out food to kids and all these charity events. And I was being really, like, I guess what people would hate, you know, like, oh, this guy's a douche. I started hitting a face. He's faking it. And I was telling Tyler, I think I want to go heel. I really think I want to go heel. And the minute I said I wanted to go heel, and I explained to Tyler the type of heel I want to be, lo and behold, Brandon Garcia comes in. And I'm like, fuck! That's exactly the guy I wanted to transform into, like that brash, brazen guy who don't give a shit, and he's going to kick somebody's head in. And he came in. I'm like, I can't turn heel now. Fuck. Okay, I guess I'll stay face, and I'll battle the shit out of Brandon Garcia. And then he ends up winning the title at Crucible, which was great. And then I started telling myself, maybe it's time to go heel. And then Diego was leaving, and I'm like, damn, if Diego's leaving, there's no big giant face right now. I mean, Buck was face, but there was nobody immediately challenging Brandon Garcia. So I stood face a little bit longer, and then it started wearing itself thin with me. So I told Talon, sorry, Talon, if I stay, I'm going to end up turning heel. I'm going to turn heel. And then I found out that Punch was coming back as a heel. I was like, no, not again, man. Fuck. So I just said, I don't care. I'm sorry, Punch, but I wasn't going to let another chance for me to go heel pass me by. And towards the end, I started using Jack Bookman as the guy who was kind of trying to stop me from going heel, but I was kind of losing my shit. And so, you know, I became full-blown heel, as you read in my last few RPs. And I started tapping in a little to my Eddie K in a sense of being really brash with what I wrote and cussing a lot and not caring about what I said. And I'm just going to be in your face and antagonistic and really, really fucked up. And I don't want nobody to take anything personally. I'm just going to RP in the mode of the best heel I could possibly be. Like, I want to be the best, absolute best heel I can be. And the only way I can do that is through my RPs. So, you know, that as going forward into season 3, I'm done being a face. I'm done being a voice of reason, a good guy. I'm just going to be. I mean, everybody, sometimes I feel like some of the guys who don't know me kind of kind of look at Jack Bookman, they kind of look at Eddie Phoenix, and they kind of think, well, that's got to be him then. Like, he, your character is usually your personality or what you see yourself as if you were wrestling. So he got to be this douche of, you know, Eddie Phoenix. So now I'm not, actually. I mean, I am.
I'm not a douche, you know, but I am.
I'm.
But not to that extreme.
If you don't, like, if you don't know me and, like, you don't get me, I'm a cocksucker. I know I am. I'm a motherfucker. But in the same sense, it's like, I'm honest. Like, I try to be honest with everyone, straightforward, whenever they aim me. And a lot of times what you write doesn't come off with the way you're saying it. If you miss a period or a comma, forget it. You want to fight somebody. So, you know, it just happens in that natural sense that when you email someone or I aim them, I come off like an arrogant bastard with what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And it's not that way. I'm pretty much just going, nah, man, this is the way it's got to be, but next time. But when they read it, it's like, nah, man, fuck you, fuck your mom, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. So I'm like, whatever, man. I can't help how you read things. I'm not going to stroke your ego. I'm not going to massage your palate. You read it how you read it, and you have a nice fucking day. And I'm just not that way with people, where I constantly got to be like, but nah, man, that's not what I meant. I mean, but I'm sorry. I'm not that way. I'm like, listen, man, this is how it is. You dig it? Cool, let's go. So that's just moving forward. I'm just going to try to be the worst / best type of bad guy, you know, I could be. And it's gonna show through my RPs. You know, I just ask everyone, don't take it personal, and, you know, don't send me fucked up emails about my mom.
Fuck your mom. Beat your ass.
You know what I'm saying? Because guys do get, like I said in my post before, they get touchy, and you made a good point. If you give a carpenter nails and hammer and they don't build what you want, you're going to be pissed. I get that. The thing is, the carpenter gets paid, you know?
Yeah.
And us as writers, we got to find, well, us as an ex-writer, I just needed to find a little bit of fun. And I feel like a lot of guys mistook who I was because of what I did with their character or didn't do with their character. And I just, you know, I can't apologize every goddamn time. All I can say is, my fault, man. I try better next time. So just moving forward, me and Buck are talking about some things, and I know he's retired, but we're trying to work some things out. That could be really, really fun. But we'll see where we go with that. We'll see if Talon gives us the okay with it. And I just want to be an asshole, a really bad dude. And let's see where it goes, because Diego's a really good heel. You know, he's working off the emotions of everything that happened in the past and everything. And Brandon's an excellent heel. You know, I love Brandon's stuff, because God damn it, I was just about to turn heel when he came in. So props to Brandon. I love everybody's work, man. Everybody keeps me into it. You know, a lot of the guys in here is what brought me back. I didn't want to leave right when we were getting some of the best writers. You know, T-Mar was here. Brandon, I knew, was coming back. Ponch was back. You know, I don't want to leave anybody out. So I'm just going to say the roster, just doing so good and really well. And I didn't want to leave right when all these great, like, writers were coming. I want to put my writing ability to the test with them. So they kind of helped me stay, in a sense, too.
Okay. So now that we're caught up present time, and we got to sneak into the future, now it's time for I'm trying to think of a name for this section. It's just the post-evolution status. I don't know. Whatever it is. What's your favorite moment as Eddie Phoenix?
Overall, like in CRW, or
no? Overall, like as Eddie Phoenix career.
I got a few. Like I said, I liked the whole angle to start CRW. I thought that was important, like an important piece of CRW history, the way that all played out with Talon and everything. I really loved that angle. I liked winning in RWF when I first started with two completely different characters. Knowing how hard it was with these points and everything, that was really cool. And believe it or not, you know, I spent I spent about 3 years and a half to 4 years in HWA, you know, in an eFed that was pretty much storyline based. And, you know, Talon won a Ringmaster, and he fought me to win the Ringmaster, which was a great, that tournament was one of my favorites. But I like that I won the 2011 MVP of the Fed, which I never thought I was going to win that. And it was voted on by your peers. So that was pretty cool that I won that through peer voting. As far as, you know, like I said, CRW, I've had fun with Crucible. I had fun that first angle. I loved a lot. I loved running the Apex Division. I mean, I know that's not an Eddie Phoenix moment, but as just Eddie, that was a great moment. And I really liked starting season two as a champ, as a face champion, and having all these guys, Digger and Punch and Merlin, and Brandon was just coming in. I really liked having that for CRW. Not to get into it, you know, Dredge was really good, but Dredge kind of left on a sour note with CRW. And I was disappointed the way that all went down with him. And I just kind of wanted to be kind of like a champ or the representative, the head representative of CRW holding the title. I don't want to say champ because, once again, I sound like a dickhead. But the head, and then, you know, be that guy, and then everybody, and I fight everybody, and then, you know, we eventually come to someone who could take it. And that long story, that, you know what, that whole rant, my favorite part was the whole story I had with Diego all the way leading up to now. Like, from being friends and tagging to how he kept thinking, you know, I would push him in the front and I was never there to back him up. And then with Maria and then the Crucible, you know, that's how it all got started. You know, I barely beat him the first Crucible, and then, you know, he went on to beat me at the second Crucible, and then we still kind of see left. And now when he comes back, I managed to win my way to fight him one more time. So through all that, I guess my number one moment in Eddie Phoenix has been kind of like the storyline I've been able to keep going with, you know, with Diego. That he's, you know, personally, us two, we give each other a lot of shit. But when it comes to characters, you know, he's one of the guys I really, really like to work with. So I guess my favorite moments are more storyline based, the stories I've worked with people and the angles I've had.
Okay. Ooh, I don't know why my voice was very pretty high in that time. No, I completely understand. That's how I am. I could care less about wins or accolades.
I'm sorry, one more thing, and I can't leave this out. The whole thing with Varisus and Gravedigger, really love that too. And the whole thing, you know, him coming into the bar, us working together to beat the shit out of me. And it's, I guess it goes part of me being long-winded and whatever. But just those moments that I've had with Gravedigger and those moments I've had with Diego and these angles, it's like been some of the most fun I've had in a really, really long time. Yeah. And creating the NWO with Talon.
Okay.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I completely understand, and I didn't know that he didn't tell me that, so that was good. I'm happy. Otherwise, that would have been ruined. That was great. Least favorite moment, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and probably say Senator
Esters. Senator never picked on me.
What?
He never picked on me. I always told
Is that your worst moment? The fact that he never picked on you?
He never. I mean, he shitted on me at the end. But I never got nothing injected. I never got asked to go to his towers. I never got my dead people dug up and elbow dropped. I never got kicked in the nuts. I never got kissed. Did he tell you that in the segment, Sinister kissed Talon? I never got kissed. I never got these stupid fucking things happen to me. Like, I don't know if he was like, he knew I'd be like super angry if he did that, or Talon was more like, Talon took it in stride, but Talon hated every moment of it. But he took it in stride, and I give him mad props for doing that, because I probably wouldn't have. Like, come on, dude. Now we're making out and stuff. Like, what's going on here? But Yeah, Sinister never did anything to me, so I won't say Sinister. But what happened in HWA, I was a world champ. A guy came in, worked his way up. He was a really good guy. And he beat me for the world title. Well, he beat me in a match where I was like, okay, I could see how he won that. Then he won himself to get into the world title. And I personally, along with maybe two or three other guys in the Fed, don't feel like that he had deserved to win against me at that moment. We were both faces, too, so it was real weird. Mm-hmm. And he beat me, and I took it. I'm like, "What? Whatever, fine." You know, I didn't see how. I was hot. I was rolling. Things were working out for me. It was like the Fed was almost being focused around me. Guys were, you know, behind me and everything like that. And for a Fed that was story-based, this guy was a face, and nobody kind of really – he was good, but he didn't have no fire behind him. He ended up winning, no problem. On my rematch, he ended up winning, and then we had a third match. And this is probably, you could say, one of the stupid things Sinister did to me, but not Sinister himself. He made the guy pull out a barbed wire bat and hit me in my neck where it ripped my neck open. And I'm like, I should be dead at this point. Like, you made him cut my jugular. You wrote. Eddie Phoenix is blood everywhere. We think he got a jugular. This fucking jugular. Like, I was like in a pool of my own blood. Jeez. And I'm like, you ripped my goddamn jugular. Like, come on, man. So I kind of no-sold it in my next RP. I put a Band-Aid on it. And I'm like, this bar with a Band-Aid on his neck holding an ice pack on his head. So then the guy RP is, oh, you know, it's great that we have guys in here with such healing abilities that you can walk into your bar the very next day and show no signs of an injury where I nearly ripped half your neck off. And I'm like, this guy's such an idiot, man. Do you know that you didn't write that? I'm not going to sell you ripping my jugular. I'm never going to sell that because that means I have to die.
Yeah.
So I no-sold that, which I know pissed the guy off. And so then I went on. I said, you know what? Let me start going for the mid-card title. Talon was the champ. I'm like, you know what? Me and Talon are friends in RP and in real life. He's doing his own thing. I'm not going to step in the way. That's cool. He earned it. Let me go for the mid-card. I ended up getting the mid-card title. Was storming, like I was storming. This guy, the world champ, created a secondary character and put him in the mid-card. And within, like, 2 months, the dude beat me for that title. And I'm like, this dude, he wasn't even RPing as much. Like, he was hardly a factor in the Fed. How on his very first try, he beat me. Like, and it was like everybody was like even emailing the guy, ew, what's going on? How come Ed? Like, this guy wasn't even a factor. He wasn't even RPing. He was been gone. Oh, it's storyline. We want to push him now. I'm like, what are you talking about push him, man? How about him put the work? How about him write? That's how you push him. You don't push him. You're not a booker, a real-life booker, where you're pushing guys at your own whim. But he ended up taking that, and then I couldn't get a rematch. And I was like, what's going on, man? And then he made me lose, like, the next four matches. So that was my least favorite moment, that I put so much of my time and effort, gave this guy. I even was running his tag division with Jack Bookman. That's where Jack Bookman came from. I created Jack Bookman in HWA and ran his tag division. I was doing everything for him. I was just pretty much his right-hand man, his second-in-command over there, helping him out. And I was writing my ass off. I had a tag team and Eddie Phoenix where I was writing my ass off for both. And just because he felt like storyline-wise, it was time for me to start going on a losing streak. And I'm like, no, I don't mind losing to Talon. I don't mind losing to Ronnie. I don't mind losing to Merlin. But you're making me lose to a guy who's hardly a factor in the Fed, man. And like two or three times, get the fuck out of here. I saw what was going on. I saw it, and a lot of people started seeing it too. So I just kind of made my way out of the Fed. That was my least favorite moment, honestly. Just the last 6 months of HWA.
Okay. When you're writing, or you're getting in the mood of writing, what sets you in the mood? Is it music? Is it watching wrestling? Watching promos?
No, I cannot watch wrestling when I'm gonna write. Honestly, my thing is I get a a beer. I get a shot. I sit down and I just listen to music lightly in the back. I put my headphones on because if I don't put my headphones on, I think I'll kill my wife because she puts the TV on behind me and then she's watching like Basketball Wives or some dumb shit like that. And I can't write when I got like stupid shit on behind me. So I either send her to the room or I got to put my headphones on and, you know, I'll start with always rock music and I'll put on some rock music. I start have a shot. I take the shot, have a little beer. So I'll sit there and I'll just sit there and I'll read. If anybody put an RP up before the deadline, I'll read it. And if not, I'll just sit there. I go over in my head some things that I want to say, write them down on the side, and then I'll just start writing. And I'll just write and write and write and write, and then I'll go back and I'll delete whatever doesn't make sense, and then I'll put it all together.
Okay.
But I cannot write without a beer.
To understand, I can't do a lot of things without a beer. who do you model your writing after?
So are we talking about like
art role playing?
Role playing?
Yeah.
All right. There was this guy called Pyro. And before when I used to RP, I used to do a lot of RPing in front of a camera. And I would read his RPs, and his RPs were always, he was hanging out somewhere, doing something crazy, building story and evolving his character through his RPs while I was standing in front of a camera RPing. And I started looking at his stuff a lot. I started looking at, when I came into HWA, I was seeing how Talon was laying it down, like laying his format down. I would write and I would go on and write and write and write and write. And but I was seeing he had kind of like a flow to it. And I started, I really enjoyed his flow. So I was like, okay, you know what? I got to get my stuff flowing like that. It's got to kind of move. It's got to go from one segment to the next. So I started looking at the way Talon was doing it. I was looking at the way a little bit Michael Dredge was doing it. And then I kind of like broke off and just started doing my own thing. And then I get a lot of inspiration from Quentin Tarantino. I know he's not a wrestler, but a lot of what he does in his movies and in his writing, I really enjoy. A lot of his, what people think is nonsense, two people sitting there for an hour just talking about nothing. And I find that brilliant. So a lot of times when you read my RPs, you feel like, what the fuck am I reading? It's just two motherfuckers having a conversation. But it's just kind of my procedure. So, you know, when I first got into it, I was lost. 5 years not RPing, things change. So just reading a lot of stuff that Talon put up in HWA, a lot of stuff that Michael Dredge had put up in HWA, kind of put me back into the swing of things again. And then I finally got kind of like my own style of doing things by looking at how they map their writing.
Okay. For some reason I was spacing out for a quick second. Now, because everything's over, now we get to a lot of people look forward to, because it's bragging rights from a listener's standpoint. I'm giving you 10 minutes. You can say hello, what up, I appreciate your kind words, or whatever, to anybody. You got 10 minutes, and I'm giving you the floor now.
I don't even know if I need that much, and I guess that's what people don't like about me. I want to say just everybody in CRW, you know, I've reading RPs, going through a lot of things, judging matches when I was part of staff. You guys made it fun, and at the same time, you know, I just want everybody to know out there, and Diego knows this, right after Code Redemption, I kind of gave Diego a little flack for some things he left out of my match. He gave me, because we were short some writers, they gave me the opportunity to write the match. And since Diego was in it, he kind of gave me his blessing with it. And I, you know, I pretty much wrote the whole match, and he added what he thought needed to be added in. And at the end of it, some of the stuff that I had wrote was left off. And I did the one thing I hate. I went to Diego, like, why did you leave this off? Why did you do this? Not really understanding that him and Rob and so many of these other writers pretty much gave up a good portion of their weekend to get this done. You know, they really stepped up while Talon's been gone and dealing with some, you know, personal issues and everything I've been going through. And I should have really just told them, you know what, guys, thank you so much. You know, some things are left off, but doesn't matter. We move forward. Great show. So I've apologized to them already through AIM, but I want to apologize again to them because I was the dickhead I hate the most. But after you think you can put your feet up, somebody complains about something really small and relevant. So I apologize to you guys. I want to thank, you know, guys like, you know, Buck and everybody who stepped up on the show. Guys who've really come in and really made CRW so broad, you know, especially with the E-Fed Knights and APW and all these other feds. And now we got all these cross promotions. I've never been a part of E-Fedding where we were E-Fedding with matches and other shows and 100-man battle royals from over here and this show from over there. So this is a really unique experience for me. And it's really fun to see. And a lot of these guys, it looks like they've been doing this kind of stuff already for like the last 5 years. And I'm looking at it like, what? There's cross-promotional shows? Wow. And nobody, you know, there's not a pissing contest for that? There's no, you know, other presidents going, no, he's not going to lose. That's my guy. And I like the way it's just all up to the RP. So that's really cool. You guys have kind of broadened my horizon with that. As far as RP goes and things like that, you know, I already set my piece on the board. And I'm going to try to be more – well, I'm just going to say I'm going to try to be more I don't know. I don't know if I have the word for it. More communicate with guys better. I would prefer to do it through phone or talking as opposed to AIM or writing emails because, like I said, I always sound like an asshole. And I'm not going to change that, so don't expect me to change that. I want to tell, you know, Talon, we've been through a lot with CRW. Thanks, man, for sticking with it, you know, staying with it and putting your heart and effort into it because anybody knows Talon as he puts. There's been times I tell Talon, "Yo, Talon, fuck that, man. You know, take a goddamn break," or "Fuck that, man. Let these guys wait, man. You're going to give up your whole weekend just so you can get the show out there Monday? If you put it up there Wednesday, so what? Everybody's still going to love it the same way." And he goes, no, we can't do that. These guys bust their ass. So, you know, we're the yin and the yang. Where I go, you know, guys got to understand, it's life. Life happens. But he knows life happens. But he also feels like the commitment and dedication that a lot of you guys put into it, he wants to reciprocate it through having shows come out when they need to come out and responding to everyone in timely order. So mad props to Talon for that and everybody in the staff. As far as individually shouting anyone out, I don't know if I really could do that without leaving anyone out because everyone's done such a great job. Thanks, you know, me and Gravedigger, you know, we've been going at it for a while now. Me and Diego, you know, have a great time with him. I want to get into a goddamn storyline with Brandon. The thing is, he's a badass heel. And if I'm going to be the same type of badass heel, it's not really going to be fun to see two badass heels going against each other because somebody's going to look like the good guy. And because of Brandon and the way he's already presented himself, he's going to end up probably looking like the face because nobody likes me anyway. So, you know, in that respect, I would love to get into something with Brandon. I would love to get into a segment maybe with T-Marv. You know, I like his writing. His writing is really good. Rex Evans, I mean, he looks like he's probably going to be pushed as the next big-time face. And that's going to be awesome if he's the next big face because I really want to get into an angle with Rex Evans. I think that'll be really great. So, yeah, there's just a lot of guys that I want to test myself against and really get into some great angles with. And we'll see. We'll see what happens going forward. Thank everybody for putting up with a lot of my bullshit in the past. And for those of you who've been with me since season one, thank you, you know, for dealing with a lot of my shit. I know sometimes I'm not the easiest person to get along with when I was staff because I just didn't give a damn about the constant bitching and complaining, which, you know, as only being a handler now, I now see that. It's not really bitching and complaining that you're doing. You just want your character and your wrestler to be represented well because you put a lot into them. You put a lot into showing who they are. So You know, I won't apologize because what's done is done. But, you know, moving forward, I now see things kind of in a little different light when it comes to handlers and their wrestlers. So just thank you, man. I can't wait for season three. I want to thank the soul over here for hosting this show and giving me 2 fucking hours, man. I'm surprised you haven't blown your brains out. I'm long-winded. I'm long-winded like a motherfucker. I'm surprised you haven't cut this shit off already and given me a text saying, sorry, bro, my bad. My computer turned off. But thanks for the time, man. This has been so much fun. I was so excited to do this, and I can't wait to listen to everybody else's. And this is awesome. This is awesome that, you know, I started this in 98, and now in 2013, I'm talking in an eFed journal about, you know, how this all became. So real cool stuff. Thank you for the time, for the hour more than I probably should have gotten. but thanks for having me, and it's been fun, and I'm rejuvenated again. I'm happy to be with my guy again and do what I want with him. And once again, just, you know, nobody take anything personally, but I'm gonna be a real fucked up dude. So cool, I can't wait to start season 3.
All right, man, I had a blast, and it's not a problem. Look, like I said, if these things go close to two hours, that's fine with me. But if it goes a lot over 2 hours, it's got to be a special episode. Otherwise, something's wrong. But no, we're good. We're good. You're gonna have, and I know you're gonna have a blast listening to all of them. I know you are. You spent probably 10, definitely Talons. Those two for sure. I think you're gonna have a blast listening to.
Me and 10, we spoke, but in the beginning, me and 10 had a really
no episode 10, not Rob.
Oh, episode, I think 10. Said Rob.
My episode 10. No. He wants to be on. We're working out some stuff.
He has to be on. He's gonna get on. He's got great ideas, that guy.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, we didn't meet eye to eye. We were very opinionated guys, or, you know, we're very opinionated handlers, and so, you know, now we're like, I like that. I like him a lot. You know, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's got a lot of great ideas, and he's committed to CRW.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great, and I love that. And, you know, I've already given my apologies for being the dickhead I was to him in the beginning. But there we go, man. Thank you. I don't want this to become a special episode. So
don't worry, because we're at the end. This is normally where I say to my guests, thanks for stopping by. So Eddie, thanks for hanging in with me.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me so much.
A lot of fun.
Great, man.
It was a blast.
I know you're tired. I know you had a long day today, so thank you, man.
I did, but it's all good. It's for the love of the EFJ. Love of the EFJ. Eddie, thanks for stopping by. We're going to keep track with you as soon as season 3 starts back up, and I can't wait to see what asshole Eddie Phoenix is like.
Cool. You might be the only one.
All right, man.
Thank you so much. We'll catch you later.
DP, Eddie Phoenix, everybody. Before I get to the end of the show, Eddie wanted to talk about a Fed. So, Eddie, take it away.
I'm here to just speak about CRW, Code Red Wrestling. I'm not in any other Feds. I stick to CRW. It's where I've been for the last 2 years. And this is where I'm going to be until I decide it's time for my character to move on. It's a great Fed, great staff, great head, a lot of great writers, do a lot of great interpromotional work with other Feds. It just seems to get better and better. Every time I look, there's new storylines, new angles, and just new and creative gimmicks, new and creative characters coming on the roster. CRW, if anybody out there is looking for a Fed where you can be yourself, any type of RP style, from any point of view, from any angle, CRW is the place, and you'll be given your fair share. You will be judged properly, no matter what you RP like, no matter what your style is, you're welcomed here. Trust me, we've had everything from guys who don't talk and RP through their manager, to guys who their RPs are writing in a diary, to guys who RP with there are people behind them who are talking to themselves in the mirror. All those styles are welcome to CIW, and this is where I love the place so much, and this is where this is the only place I really want to be.
That's about it for this week's show. Episode 19's in the books. So that means episode 20 is next week, the big panel episode about attitudes, egos. There's a lot of other stuff. It'll be in the title of the show. It'll be might be a two-parter. Don't know how long it's going to be. Check that out. Sib, Gooch, Callahan, they'll be on it. I'll be there as the host, as always. Check for episode 21. I'm going to announce it here. Breaking news. Not really breaking news, because it's not news, nor is it breaking. Going to start adding some more content to the shows. Some past guests are going to come on and give a little flavor to some things. The first thing is going to be a segment that we've decided to come to Papa, as in come to Papa Pancho. We're going to set up an email, which will probably be papapancho@gmail.com or whatever, something like that. Send questions, whatever, to him, whether fetting or not. You don't have to put your name to it. Hopefully we get one or two so we can do that for that show. And then we're going to do some other stuff after that. So stay tuned for that. That'll be some fun stuff. And make those intros even longer if you hate those long intros. Not really. That would be something different. Anyways, you know what I'm going to say next. Go to the eFedJournal at webs.com. That's the website that has all this stuff. I'm in the process of moving some more stuff over there. The blogspot page, eFedJournal.blogspot.com. That's got all the shows, all 19. It'll have 20 next week and 21 after the week after that. At the eFed Journal on Twitter, follow it, efedjournal@gmail.com. If you're a prospecting member or guest, not a member, a guest, again, go to wannabe on the blogspot page, wannabe, and now on the website, wannabe a guest. Click on it, takes you to what I need from you, what the contact information I need to do this. The people that have sent stuff over, I've gotten it, everything. If I haven't personally sent anything back, I apologize. I'm kind of terrible with that. I tend to just do broad, like something like this, where I say, everybody, I got your stuff. So I got everybody, I got your stuff. Episode 19, all done. I'm TJ, and this has been episode 19. Take a sneak peek at episode 20 now. Got you. No, I don't do that. You guys know what I do. I say blah, 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 and then say later. Later!
How come they can't solve redneck murders?
Why not?
The DNA all matches and there's no dental records.
Yes! Good job! Yes!